This is Corolla Digital.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I talk about one of the greatest movies ever made, The African Queen, with Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn. It's great for me, and it'll be great for you. Listen through iTunes or the free Adam Carolla app. We'll see you here.
Now, it's time for this week's CarCast with your host, Adam Carolla, and moderator, Matt D'Andrea.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. And welcome to another CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Matt, the moderator, D'Andrea. And, we went to Coronado again.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Cut it a little short.
Yeah.
It was a busy weekend.
Yeah. I had to work on Saturday night, and I had to go to Upland to go to the Liquorama and sign some Mangria bottles on Saturday. And here's how little I know about the place I've lived my whole life. I had to be in, where'd I have to be? I had to be in the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
Saturday night.
I've heard about that place.
And I was like, well, I'll just go down to Coronado, which is in San Diego. I'll just head down to Coronado on, you know, forget about Friday. We don't need practice. But Saturday, I'll go down there and qualify. And then
right.
When I'm done, I'll just go to the Inland Empire and I'll just do my show with Dennis Prager. And then I'll just drive back to San Diego that night. So then I'll just do the race on Sunday. And then I took a look at the map.
Yeah, they're not really close.
Not anywhere. And the thing is I just thought
they're 120 miles apart.
When you're in Los Angeles, everything that's out of Los Angeles is the same direction in my mind.
Yeah.
Like my thing is like as long as I'm going to Coronado, I'll just stop at the Inland Empire on the way out.
Right.
It's not that direction at all. And it's further away from Los Angeles and it's a further drive. And then there's a liquor store and I was trying to work and I couldn't break Les's heart. Now as you know.
When did you end up telling him? Saturday morning?
I give Les the bad news, like, incrementally. You know what I mean? I always say this. You could eat a Chevy Monte Carlo over the course of a lifetime if people just ground it up and you put a teaspoon over your cereal every single morning. Eventually, 37 years in, you could say, I ate an entire Chevy Monte Carlo. You could do it. Incrementally. If you try to do it in one sitting, you'd probably get sick. So I really would like that experience, though. And someone on the internet's got to do this. Meaning, I don't care plastic, vulcanized rubber, iron, probably not a whole lot of alloy like aluminum in that car, whatever it is.
Right.
But you take every single part and you basically pulverize it until it becomes a dust. Everything from the interior to the rims, the tires, and the engine block eventually becomes dust. And then you just take that dust and you essentially put it in a protein shake every morning. And I'm not saying it'd be good for you, but iron.
I can pretty much say it's not good for you.
Okay.
We don't need Dr. Drew here to figure that out.
You've probably done worse just eating some stadium food in your life. You know, big old stadium nachos. God knows what's
there's
in
a,
that.
There's a very high chance that Chris has done worse for sure.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
He's doing worse right now. Chris Maxpana. I'm saying I would not make it all vulcanized rubber, but I think the iron part you'd be all right with. And then there's some of the things that wouldn't be great for you, like the paint and the interior. But as long as you got the mixture, right, I don't think it would kill you.
Just a sprinkle. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then over the course of your life, you would devour a Chevy Monte Carlo. One of the biggest arguments I ever had with Jimmy Kimmel is he said if you ate churros for a year, it would kill you. And I said, no, it wouldn't. And he said, yeah, you wouldn't be in great shape, but it wouldn't kill you. He said, no, you would die. I said, no. Listen, I know people that have worse diets than the equivalent. He said, no, nothing but churros. We had to take it to Dr. Drew.
I mean, that's it. Like, that's the only thing you ate? There wasn't you can have like one water. Churro a day. Not like a churro a day and then, you know, apples and salad.
No, just churros.
Just churros.
All right. The point is this. Where
Would
was
you die?
I?
What was Drew's answer, by the
no,
way?
No, you'd live. And there are many impoverished nations where they wish they were on a three churro a day diet. All right. Now, so here we go. We're going to Coronado. And, you know, I told Les, it was the big B sedan. They got rid, 2.5 Trans Am cars. They got rid of the big bore guys this year.
Yeah.
Usually the guys.
They're a rowdy bunch anyway.
Yeah. Everyone likes all the Mustangs and the Camaros and all that kind of the occasional Javelin and stuff like that. That's the big bore Trans Am. The 2.5 Trans Am guys are the mostly Alphas, 510s, some 911s in there.
Yeah.
And
to you, those are big guys.
What?
To you. Those yeah, are the big engines.
That's
compared
what
to your
I like.
One, your 2 liter, your 1.8, your 1.6.
Yeah, the thing is it's a 2.5 Trans Am series, but nobody has a 2.5. Oh, well, maybe those BMWs. They never started as that.
Right.
There's a couple of cars that seem to have a little more horsepower than other cars.
Oh, yeah. That's what they do, right? You try to get a little extra. No one will notice.
Well, they notice when you're on the straightaway and they just go, bah! And they just blow right past you. So there's some guys making a little more horsepower out there. But most of the guys, you know, if you ran a 1.8 or 1.6 or 2 liter back in the day, that's what they run now. I was surprised and I was unsure, by the way. So I had to break the news to Les because this is a big deal because it's the big gathering of the 2.5 Trans Am cars, which is a big deal for him and a big deal overall. And again, the big bore guys gone this year, the little guys here this year. I imagine the quick little guys probably turn as good a lap time, probably better than the big bore guys do on that track. We could probably research
weird,
it and figure it out because it's a small track.
It's a small track, but For people that don't do a lot of racing, I haven't run on that track, but just looking at it, it looks like it's a cool track to learn on because it's flat. It doesn't have like elevation changes and turns that you can't see, like the corkscrew, for example.
Yeah.
You know, so it looks like it's a kind of a fun, not real fast and kind of short, but but fun to kind of get out there.
It's the first race I ever did. I've done it every year. One year I crashed my 610 there. Last year, I had to go to the Emmys because Jimmy was hosting the Emmys. So Les got my car, old Saint Nick in the red, red fire suit, and it's the first one. It's the first track. It's the first one I ever ran at, and it was my first vintage race. So I sort of like it. If people need to know the story, my first vintage race. I would go to the vintage races. It's a little lesson to you all. I would go to the vintage races and sit around and look at these guys working on their cars, their parts, their trailers, their dualies and semis, you know, their stackers and their guys. And then the guys would come out in their fire suits and their equipment and all the bells and whistles and all the ancillary stuff and the harnesses and the gloves and stuff. And you just kind of look at it and you go, well, I couldn't handle all that. That's too much. And you get the feeling like you're going to go out there, you're going to start driving, and everyone's going to just start yelling at you, what are you doing? Get off the track. Right. You don't know what you're doing. Whose fire suit is that?
They seem like they got it all dialed in.
They seem like it's all dialed in, and it seems very intimidating to make the jump into that. Hey, all you guys in your 40s and 50s that are super dialed in, I'm just going to jump in.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, probably about five, six years ago now, Les said, how about we sign you up for Coronado in the 610? And this must have been 6 months off. And I was like, sign me up for Coronado. And I never drove the 610 because it's a race car. It's not something you can just get some seat time in around. And I said, sign me up. Well, of course, smash cut to it's now time to drive the 610 at Coronado, and it's like this weekend and all this. And I, of course, don't know any of the procedures or the protocols or anything. and I did not do the practice on like Thursday or Friday, right, or whatever it was.
I'm just going to assume no driver's meeting.
I did go to the driver's meeting,
really?
but I caught the very tail end of the driver's meeting. I had no idea what the track was.
Where they clapped, I'm like, break.
You can see pictures of me. I'm using my Toyota driver suit back there with the duct tape over it because the Datsun guys didn't like the Toyota. They said put duct tape.
So this wasn't your... This wasn't the first bumper-to-bumper race. You had done the Toyota Pro Celebrity race before.
Right.
But was that your first like bumper-to-bumper race?
Yeah, but those are modern cars.
Right.
They don't run like these cars. So I had, out of a movie, I said, all right, what do we do? And Les said, look, just go out there during qualifying or practice or whatever it is and just follow everyone around. Just let them all get out in front, and then you follow them. You follow their line.
Yeah.
And you start learning the track because you get behind guys. They're just more experienced, and you don't have anything to prove. So I said, fine. I got all buckled up. And by the way, you know, the whole harness thing and the helmet thing and the gloves thing, it's all it's kind of a thing you have to practice getting in and out of a lot. And
you start to adapt to, like, what you like. You know where you like the belt to sit. Mm-hmm. You know your procedure of, you know.
Right, right.
Cleaning your shoes and doing the whole thing.
Yeah,
you don't know any of that.
So we all go out, and there's like 42 cars in the grid, and we all get out there to like pre-grid, and I'm sitting in the car, and I got all buckled in and belted in, and you know, less, you know, trying to fight with the window net and everything, and trying to figure out everything and how the steering wheel clips on and all that.
Is it straight?
Yeah, is it straight? And at a certain point, like with like 5 minutes to go, they're holding up the sign, you know. And I'm a bundle of nerves. And the chick, like the volunteer chick, comes by and like hits me on the shoulder and is like, where's your wristband? And she must have seen that I was a greenhorn or something. She didn't recognize me or something. And I said, what wristband? You don't have a wristband?
Yeah.
No. Out of the car.
Get out. You're
out of the car.
Wrong.
And so I'm like, out of the car. And so I'm trying to figure out how to get the belts loosened up. And
how to get out of the car.
I shut the car down. I get out. I get the window net down. I'm struggling with everything. I'm trying to climb out of the car with my helmet on and stuff. I climb out of the car. And I'm like, what wristband are we talking about? It's like, you got to go to the front. You got to go to registration. You got to get your wristband on. You're not racing unless you have a wristband. So I jump on the back of like Chris Vandergriff's scooter. And we go through the crowd. Like, I look like an idiot in my fire suit, my helmet, like, still on, you know, hanging on to this dude around the waist. We're going through a huge crowd of people. We get to the front. I get to the front. There's a guy there. Yeah, you got to sign up. You know, you kill yourself on the track. We don't want to be responsible. So, you know, he's laughing. Yeah. He's putting his thing on bundle of nerves. I jump back onto the scooter. And as we're pulling up back to the pre-grid to my car, I can see the car starting to go out onto the track now. So I'm like, oh, shit, I got hurt. But I don't know how to hurry. You know, I'm jumping in. I'm trying to get my helmet on.
You have
sunglasses.
No idea what order
like
this shit
fogged
happens.
Up. I'm trying to get the seat harness worked out. Blah, blah, blah. Of course, smash cut to everyone's gone. Everyone's pulled out. I finally get myself belted in and get going. As I make my way down, and I don't know the track. Right. I don't know anything. As I make my way through the paddock or whatever it is, the pit, and start to pull out on the track, of course, I pull out onto an empty straightaway.
Mm-hmm.
And all there is in the distance is cones.
That's right.
Like, you don't see, oh, there's an embankment, and you can see right. that this is the camber. And it's just a sea of cones in a black parking lot. You know, it's basically
But now you're in first place.
I'm in first place. So I'm now alone. And I'm just going down this straightaway where all I see is like sort of heat coming off the asphalt and just cones in the distance. I can't tell close, far. Where are we turning?
So you go
right
to the left
or left
of the cone, to the right
just
of the
see cones. And then of course I look up in my rearview mirror and all these guys are up to speed now.
Yeah,
and they're all coming around the corner. And they're all just coming on me. There's 42 guys like just flying at me.
Yeah.
I'm like holding my hands off the wheel, just going like, "It's go around,
yeah.
Let's go, everyone, go around."
Like, how did Corolla get up front?
I couldn't. There couldn't have been a worse scenario for the first time getting out onto the track than that. I ended up following everybody. Eventually, did okay. I don't know, 42 cars. I came in like, I don't know, 11th place or something like that. And the car ended up breaking. the transmission broke on the very last lap, and that's about all.
Could have
that's
been driver error.
All I remember, but yeah. So we have some in-car footage. At Jeff Fox did a lovely job of whacking things together. We've got the track. Is it the track mate?
Track mate, yeah. Track mate has their graphics overlay that we're just getting used to. We're starting to work it out. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I think what it did is without us hooking up anything to the transmission, it sort of figures out what gear you're in, and it recognizes the shifts. So I think it's pretty accurate as far as what gear you're in.
The I'm driving the BRE 510. My old thing is that track is just one big cone with a lot of concrete.
Yeah,
there's a lot of fucking barriers they put there.
Yeah, and they don't like tires.
Tires anywhere except for in the chicane. And I don't want to put that car, because it's such a work of art, into any of that concrete. And I have put cars into concrete there before. So I'm also no practice, no qualifying, start at the end. Last time I drove, like the time before I hit the concrete, when I went out there, just like guns ablazing. So I was just like,
yeah.
I'm going to be mellow.
Like, we didn't even get to the practice Sunday morning to get a couple laps. You just went, we actually just showed up in the afternoon. Really, it was just like you showed up in the afternoon, you got in the car, you did a couple laps, we packed up the car, and we left.
Beautiful day. Good crowd came out, brought the family. They enjoyed themselves. The thing about the track mate here, if you look at the graphic, is the Les said, I started in front of him, by the way. I did not start in front of Les. Les is to the right.
Yeah,
the
Les was racing. He ran pretty good.
Yeah.
He ran fine.
The thing about the track mate is the RPM is off. You will see if you... The RPM is about 3 grand lower than it should be. You'll see on occasion it'll bounce off the rev limiter, but it'll jump up. So, Jeff, it's doing a weird thing. Like, I'm at 8,000 there, not at 5,700. And especially... If you listen to the car. So Les is in front of me and it's 1,200, which is comical. I'm coming up on the wall I hit last time.
This is Les right here in the 60 car, the number 60 car? Yeah.
I went, I found the one place that people go way too slow on this track is through this tire barrier chicane, which everyone slows down way too much, and they swing out way too much. They can take this chicane and kind of straighten it out, and they don't really straighten it out. They go swing out, swing back. Eventually, those big pylons always get knocked over. It's inevitable. It's impossible for them to not. So I'm basically in last place. The field is, I don't know, 40 cars. Maybe it was 44 and four dropped out. I don't know. Mechanical failure.
Yeah. Now, when you're running around,
if you listen... Now, this is, if you look at the, I'm shifting at 8,200.
Right. It's showing six,
it's
like
showing
60
five.
Something.
No, it's showing like five. So you'll see, though, at a certain point, it starts to bounce off the top of the rev limiter, which is an interesting thing. I don't know how it works, but
So this is the first time we hooked up that feature. Like, I'm glad that it's working, even though the numbers are off a bit. But
yeah,
we'll figure out.
You'll see at a certain point later on, you'll see it go all the way up and bounce off the eight, and coming around the right hander where the concrete is. By the way,
you can overtake less.
Could you? Yeah. Could you go ahead and toss a hay bale or something in there? Does it have to just be straight into the concrete?
Les.
You get up to 90 going down the back straight into this thing. And again, like, everyone thinks of, like, well, 90 miles an hour. 90 miles an hour in a tin can piece of shit with, like, no windows. Like,
yeah.
It feels fast. It feels like you're moving pretty fast. If you took one of these 510s and just went 90 miles an hour just on the freeway, you'd be like, oh, this is... Now, right there, I'm redlined in second gear. This is one of those, the right-handers in front of the grandstands, and you're supposed to swing it all the way out to the wall, but that's the last place you want to touch the wall, because
Because everybody sees
yeah,
you.
Yeah, down the back straight, you go right up to... It'll get to about 100, 101 at a certain point. I'm not going that fast because, again, it's my first time. I just showed up Sunday. My whole thing is I started off in 40th place. Right. I'm going to bring the car back in one piece. I'm getting behind the Cortina, the Lotus Cortina. Those are cool, funky cars. They never win, but they always have one tire in the air. And they're always driven by interesting people. And there's something about that white and funky military green combo. There must be a story, Jeff Fox.
It's got like an angry face looking at you.
Yeah.
In the back.
There must be a story about that green on that Cortina.
Nice. Do the tires there.
I try to get through it without doing a lot of zigging and zagging and get through at a decent speed. I'll bet you the green on those Lotus Cortinas was some sort of surplus from World War II, that's what they painted half tracks with or something. It's a very
That's all they had. It was available. It's free. They were giving it away.
It's a non-race. It's not British racing green. It's a weird green, and it's a military-type green. It doesn't look... And I'll guarantee you those Cortinas were probably built in the early 50s or something. They started punching out some version of them in the 50s. Lap three here. Get up to 98. I'll guarantee that's some sort of military surplus. Half the car color things have to do with military surplus. But that green is just too weird, right? And too military?
Yeah. It's not anything that you normally see on a race car, so it has to be, you know, somebody found it, somebody got it for free, somebody did something like that.
Still, somehow that white and green on those Lotus Cortinas work very nicely. Coming up on a Lotus GTV.
So now you think you're in fourth gear now? It says fourth gear. Do you think that's pretty accurate?
No, I'm in third. I'm in third and just redlined in third.
So you're in a gear. At least that's accurate.
That's right. And I'll drop down to second gear here now. It has me in third, but it's learning the system, and we're learning it. I'm down in second gear. And then it's second redline, and you'll see it start bouncing a little bit at some lap four or something. You'll see the RPM gauge start, the tack start bouncing off the rev limiter.
So I'm going to say that the track mate probably thinks you're in a different gear because
I'm not in
those
fifth
RPMs
here,
are off.
Fourth. Right.
Yeah.
Right. I love these B sedans or these 2.5 Trans Am cars because a lot of these guys just get squirrely.
Oh, yeah.
They're just hanging. They've got tires in the air, and they're just fucking squirrely.
They have a good time, these guys.
They do.
They're like you said, they're all characters. They've all got stories.
Oh, yeah.
Walking around and talking to some of these guys is got to be as much fun as driving against them.
Yeah, and again, you just go, where do they go online find this?
You can go, this video will be posted up on YouTube. It'll be up on carcastshow.com.
This guy, by the way, was having none of me passing him before the S. He swung out a little and said, nah, you can stay back there.
Because that's the fun part of the track.
I think it's the fun part of the track. But again, at some point, it will be knocked over. There's no way.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Fontana's the same way. Like, at some point, there's a couple of cones on a couple of these sort of... Now, did you see... If you watch now, the RPM starts hitting the rev limiter.
Yeah, I see. You know, you'll see five and six.
No, you'll see it flash all the... You see it flash to the...
Yeah, I saw that.
Now, I don't know if it's starting to learn. Oh, 101... Look out.
Oh, on the inside. You're going to have to go tight. Heavy on the brakes.
Here's the next one that somebody's got to figure out. Remember the BMW from the B sedan race at Laguna Seca a few months back that got front end got totaled? Those Breck guys are real fast.
Yeah.
They were all there. And I said, is one of those cars?
That was the guy that T-boned the yellow Alpha.
Right. Is one of those guys the guy who took out his whole front end and Les went... Yeah, it's the number 25 car's right there. And I said, that's the same car that was totaled? Yep, number 25 right there. And I said, well, that's number 35 right there. And he said, oh, yeah, or 35. And then I started to think, well, maybe. Now I'm not sure. So what we have to do is we have to find a picture of that car that was T-boned, or not the one that was T-boned, the one that did the boning. Find out right. what the number of that car was, and then we'll see the picture of the wreck guys, and we'll see the guys on the track yeah. and see if that car got put. So see, watch the red line. It did it. Oh, it did wait. It again. It'll start bouncing off of the. It'll start bouncing off the top. There it goes again. See it?
Yeah.
See it do a weird light up? See that thing?
Oh, yeah. I see it popping red.
Yes. It yeah. means it's going over $8,000, even though it's sitting at five. It's doing something a little funky. Now, the guy in front of me, he's got the 510, and he's the guy who's paralyzed from the waist down.
Yeah.
And you hate to pass a guy who's paralyzed, but you got to do what you got to do.
He's got his car's all geared up to drives it all with his hands.
His 510 has hand controls on it.
But he can't, I don't think he makes like a closed fist. He has to do everything like open palm, like flat hand, like he's steering
right.
and everything. It's really
right.
kind of creative how he's got that car set up.
Yeah, and it moves good. I mean, he doesn't win the thing. He comes in the middle of the pack every time.
No,
he's
runs
there
good,
every
though.
Time. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And he's a really nice guy, but
oh, there's one of those.
The cone's down.
Already the big barrel.
The big barrel down. Cone's down, yeah.
All right, so who's going to push that out of the way with their car?
You know what? I don't think anybody, spoiler alert, but I don't think anybody hit that thing.
Somebody hit it once.
All right, you can see, you can see the red line now going.
Oh, it's going nuts.
Going nuts. So that's me at 8,300 RPMs, not 5,000.
Yeah. But, you know, the TrackMate stuff is cool. I like what they're doing with the graphics. We're going to just play around with a little bit. Like, I think we just rolled up to the track and tried to plug in some new stuff to see how it would work. There's probably a way to plug in whether you're running a 4-speed or a 5-speed and then the gear ratios and stuff and help figure it out. Because we're not running all the sensors. I think we just ran a tack lead, and it's doing a pretty good job of figuring out most of the stuff.
Yeah,
and I think it's using the GPS speedometer. I don't think we're not plugged into the speedometer.
No, here come the leaders, by the way, to lap me. Here comes the BMW and the Alfa. These guys are always dueling it out. And I see them in my rearview mirror, and I give them plenty of space to go by. I'm not going to slide in front of them because they're racing each other.
Three wide. They're going cut in the middle, those two guys.
Yeah, you can... cone's still down. Yeah, those guys haul ass. And again, they're having their own race.
Yeah.
You hear that 914.6 guy
from
Laguna Seca last
practice.
Night? Well, they're
this is their job.
They're good drivers, and they have probably a little more horsepower because you see them on the straight just pull away. You know.
Yeah.
And that's not the driver. Everyone's flat out on the straight. That is, BMW's making a shitload of horsepower or something. I don't know what goes on. But point is this. Those guys are having a race for first place.
Yeah.
We're having a race for 17th place. So let them by.
You know, your car, your 510 pulls pretty hard on that straight. Like, a lot of the passing that you do is on that straight. And I don't know if it's just...
That's all the driver.
Yeah, I don't think so. You mean the other guy is waving you by?
Yeah, no, the guy... That 510 makes good, respectable horsepower and pulls nicely, but it's still 1800. And they're, believe it or not, you feel the difference between driving a 2-liter and an 1800. And like my 610, which I don't have put together right now, but there's an engine, a 2-liter with an FIA head on that thing, and that 2-liter with the FIA head on it makes. Can make up to like 235, 240 horsepower
right.
versus the 198 to 202. And that extra 30 horsepower, 35 horsepower, that's a huge difference in
that.
Yeah,
the larger displacement's got to be adding quite a bit more torque as well. And I think you're going to see that when you're digging out of the turns.
Here's me
on a track like this.
Here's me missing a shift. I remember looking into the audience going around this turn going,
Hey,
that's me fifth. Now I can't find it. Can't find the gear. Oh, there goes the BMW. Get back on. Now,
Jeff made sure to throw up a big graphic, by the way. It says can't find gear.
Yes. You can hear it. Only real misshift of the race. And again, I wasn't pushing it as hard as I could push it. I was trying to catch this last guy in a GTV, which, by the way, we found out is worth like $300,000.
Oh, that guy was driving it like it was worth $30,000.
Well, he explained to me after the race that because the car was worth so much, that's an aluminum Alpha, and because that's such great history, and because it was worth so much, he was being very cautious out there. But
I don't know about that.
I didn't feel that way when I got behind him. But
so you're coming up with a car now. The one you're talking about is this brown Alpha GTV
with a bunch of history and GTA. GTVs are a little bit run-of-the-mill. GTAs are aluminum, and thus the A, and thus they're a weird little Alpha coupe that's worth $300,000. And if I hadn't blown my shift, I would have fucking passed this guy, but that's life in the big city.
Yeah, but you did that thing. You did that thing where we talked to the guy, and you're like, one more lap. The guy's like, everybody says that. One more lap.
Yeah.
One more lap, you could have had me, sure.
Yeah. I think we got the, lap 11. Yeah. Now, you see, now I'm coming up on the guy. This is the last lap. Now, I don't know this is the last lap, and I guess I should keep track of that shit. We're passing some lapped traffic at this point. I think we're passing a lapped car.
Oh, this red.
There's another red Alpha.
The red Alpha.
Probably be a GTV. Here's me. Let's see.
Those Alphas are cool looking cars. I like
yeah, they're fun. And the engines are cool. They're just big. This guy points me by the way. I do a double wave, it should be noted. I do the first wave so he can see me in the rear view and the second as I go past him because I appreciate a guy's being lapped going, go on by. I know you're trying to catch that $300,000 GTA.
That orange barrel slowly rolling out into the middle of the track, by the way.
Here's where I needed just one more.
Oh, look at this Beamer coming up on you.
Yep.
Now, he's lapping you, this guy?
Yeah, he would be.
And we think that's the 34.
That's 34.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what he does when he gets in the straightaway.
Oh, he wanted to go to the inside.
But he just swung out and still passed the Alpha.
Yeah.
And that's this is the final lap. Jeez, we got 12 laps in. They must just do a time thing because
they ran 20 minutes, and it's a short track, so 12 laps seems
right.
Seems about
right. So
what you would get.
Now I got the Alpha GTA in front of me. I don't know if it's GTV or GTA. If I had a GTA, I'd put a huge A.
Yeah. It's
like
a GTA.
One of Alvin from the Chipmunks, because I'm thinking about sliding in right here.
Right.
And
he's not having it.
He's not having it, and I don't want to slide in and then bank off him. So now I should have gone down to first gear because he wasn't backing off.
So what's worse, hitting the concrete on the right side or hitting the GTA on the left side?
I just crashed there last time, so I said, oh, fuck it. So
now
I'm going, all right, I got this guy. I got this guy in my sights. And he's driving. He's got a wheel hanging up in the air there. And he's
yeah, there's some body roll in that car.
There is. Well, it makes it fun. Now, here's where I can kind of go, all right, I can go for it here. But again, a lot of concrete, not a lot of hay bales or tires.
Right.
And I still think, oh, I'm just going to get this guy at a certain point. But
yeah, you're close enough, you can take him on the straight.
Well, I don't realize this is the last.
Or the next lap you could have had.
It's the last lap. Right. I thought for a second about doing that dicky move where I pass him after the checkered flag, but that's a dick move. You don't do that. So, fun, nice day, good people.
Yeah.
Big, good event, great turnout, all that.
Drama-free, which is good, saves money.
Yeah, yeah. So, there I finished 19th place. Well, what place did I finish? Yeah, we'll figure it out.
It's over to the left more, we're missing.
Yeah.
19.
All right. Well, there you have it.
19, considering you basically had to start.
I started last
or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a couple of guys
10,
back
11
there.
Cars, yeah. Something like that. So I had fun. The kids had fun. Cars in one piece. And there you go. Coronado. I think they've run it for 11 years. It's kind of nice. There's the wife and kids hanging out. We should try to figure out whether that BMW made it back or not.
Yeah, I'm curious if the Alpha did as well. Obviously, the Breck BMW guys are the ones with
the
all the
yellow
money.
Alpha that I passed, I thought was number 85, which I think was the one that got T-boned, but I can't quite remember.
I love that guy just like rolled the fenders with a baseball bat and then safety wired his door to his fender and then just went out there that day. He's like, you know what? I spent all this money. I'm out here.
And no,
I'm going to run it.
Better yet, I'll tell you what made that guy go out there. You can see the pictures at our website, carcastshow.com. The guy in the yellow Alpha that was T-boned, and he may have been 85, it was 85.
Yeah, 85.
So he fixed his car
and
was out there. Fucking love. That's why the terrorists hate us, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at the damage on that car too. He'd be so bummed.
That guy was 85. That guy is a guy passed on like lap 7 or 8 or something like that.
He's taking it easy. He's got fresh paint.
You know why he went out and ran that race? Because he changed. I believe he changed his clutch. The night before.
Yeah, he was working on the car all night.
Imagine dropping the tranny, changing the clutch all Friday night. Then you finally get everything buttoned up and
you're
the
excited.
Clutch working. You bleed it and everything. And then you go out and practice Saturday morning, get T-boned. You're like, fuck, I'm entering this race. So he drilled holes in his door.
And
he drilled
a hole
in the quarter panel. He safety wired his door shut.
That'll work. Yeah,
so
adding another hole or two is not any more worse than
the Alpha that got T-boned was back out there, and I think the BMW was back out there as well. But my 610 has not made a return to the track.
No. I just checked in on it though over in the other shop. It's got the body panels sort of getting fitted onto it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it.
Matching the paint's going to be tough. All right. Let's see. You want to support the show? Support the show, baby. Go to carcastshow.com and throw a couple bucks our way, man. Hit the donate banner. We appreciate it. Again, we go out. We bring the crew. We bring the cameras. We bring the equipment. And we do all this stuff. And we do it for free. And all we ask is just a little donation to help keep it going. We love doing it. We love helping you. We love bringing it to you.
Yep.
But it ain't cheap. And every little bit helps. And there is the 25 BMW, which was back at the race as well.
It was the 25, not the 35.
It was the 25. Okay. And I saw it on the grid sheet. It was back... Back there as well. So, and this was what, in March? This wasn't that was a number of months ago, but it wasn't that many months ago. This is, I think, March.
It was after Rich White Guy mm-hmm. race. That's January, end of January.
Right.
So this was
March, April,
March,
something like that. So these guys got their shit together pretty fast.
Yeah.
All right.
So check out, jump onto the website, go to carcastshow.com. You'll see the video that Jeff put together. Thanks to the guys at Replay for their cameras, replayxd.com, and TrackMate. It's TrackMate. And we're going to play around with that software package a little bit more, but I think it's going to be cool when it's really fully dialed in.
It's fun. It's fun to say, you know what, it's fun if you do this stuff, whatever you're doing. Whether it's, you know, weekend warrior stuff on track days with people and that kind of stuff, you know, whatever club of America, you go, I went around that corner at 49 miles an hour that lap. And then the next time I went by, I went through that same corner at 53 miles an hour. And then you go, I got to keep it going at that corner. I don't want to. Then you watch it and you go, oh, don't dip below 50. Ah, 49.
Right.
And you just start watching the different points on the different tracks and the different places on the tracks. And you go, see, I could have carried more speed through there. I know because I did it two laps earlier.
Yeah.
But not this lap.
If we really knew what we were doing, we'd be writing this shit down. And then we'd go out next year and be going, hey, what'd you run on those laps? We'd have the times and the mile
That's
an hour
right.
and all that stuff. But so check out all these all the photos from the track, some of the cool cars. You'll see the 510 at our Facebook page, Facebook.com/CarCastShow.
Yeah, and you share it with anybody who's a Datsun fan or just an automotive fan. eBay Motors, baby. Mm-hmm. eBay Motors. What do we got? The Aventador?
The Lamborghini Aventador. I think that should be posted soon. The guys are going to at eBay take care of that.
So check out that blog. And
that car's nuts.
It is.
Like it's just so over the top nuts.
But it works.
Yeah.
So check out that on our eBay. And check out the eBay app. And again, hanging out. Put it in your phone. Hanging out at the airport. Just checking out bits and pieces. I have looked for everything from old vintage tiles for like my fireplace tiles.
Yeah.
Like, old school 1920s tiles to brand new parts for my car to, you know, old vintage Datsun stuff to I'll just type in vintage race car and just see what comes up. And it'll be race cars.
Yeah.
But then it'll also be old posters and fire suits and whatever. Just whatever.
You can get Steve McQueen's underwear.
That's right.
For $4 million.
No, it's $3.7
million. Oh, sorry.
All right. We are going to head out to the parking lot and share yet another really cool car with you guys. Well, Matt, what have you brung us, baby?
This is the new Porsche Cayman. The other Cayman that we've seen before, like the Cayman R model, which is that lightweight, which we really like. But now that the Cayman has sold so well, like the Boxster, it's got its own body pieces, which I think are really the standout items for this car. The old Cayman and the Boxster had the door off of a 911.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it has sort of that Carrera GT look to it.
Right.
With the side scoop, and it kind of goes into the door. Before, it was just like a tacked-on vent.
Yeah. Smells like the inside of a Porsche. It's in this crazy canary yellow.
But it is
kinda,
so yellow.
Kind of works on this car.
It does, but
I like this car because it's more aggressive than the Boxster. Boxster, right?
Yeah.
Ironically, Porsche has the Boxster, the original Boxster engine in it. But anyway, the configuration.
Right. Got
Boxster,
it.
Sure. It's more aggressive.
Yeah.
It's not as it looks a little smaller and a little more nimble than the 911, which has turned to a pretty substantial sized car.
And it's upscaled a bit price wise and whatnot.
And the steering wheel is very 911-y and looks very nice. And it's looks good. Now, does it have a 6-speed standard?
This actually does have a 6-speed. This is the Cayman S. So this has the 3.4 liter, which is basically the 911 engine, somewhat detuned a little bit. This puts out 325 horse. I think the torque is around 273. And this one has a manual. They offered the PDK. And I know the car's a little faster with that PDK transmission, but we just haven't driven a stick in a while. And I got to tool around for a day or two and practice my heel toe shifting. And
what?
It was fun to drive this stick. The stick version, because you're just not going to see it anymore, you know?
Yeah. And now, what's this car retail? What's it base?
So the base price is $63,800, mm-hmm. but it's a Porsche, and they got their a la carte options, so you can really load this thing up. This one, as it sits, even without the PDK, is already at $87,000 and change.
Wow.
And I've seen a Cayman go as high as $100,000. I don't know really what the normal price range is of a Cayman. This one's pretty nicely equipped. The leather seats and has the high-end sound system, and ventilated seats are kind of nice. And it's got the 20-inch upgrade wheels.
Rims, yeah.
The brakes, I think, are 4-piston calipers front and rear with 13-inch in the front and 12-inch in the back.
Yeah, looks
you can
about.
Tell me for sure. 330 millimeter, that's about 13-inch, and 299.
Yeah, that sounds about
right.
It's 330 and 299. It's a little bigger than an inch in between the two.
So it's about
I think
like 11.7 to 13 and 11.7.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone listening will correct
inch
this.
Inches 25.2 or 4.
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Per millimeter. Millimeter per inch. Yeah.
I like this car a lot. I think the balance is great, and everybody keeps thinking 50-50 is the perfect balance. This is actually nice with a little extra weight in the back.
Well,
this is like 50, I think it's 53 and 47.
Also, you know, it's rear wheel drive, so you do want some of that more weight over the rear wheels to hook up off the launch and that kind of stuff. So what are we talking about? You know, what are we going up against? An Audi RSR something?
Well, I think...
Or RS. Or, I don't even know what Audi's got anyway.
Yeah, so Audi has an R8. Their V8 version, you know, and then they have the 10 version. I guess that's more 911 territory.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the A4 or the RS4
yeah,
or something
well,
like
I mean,
that.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you get into a two-seater, two-door, it's tough to...
Right.
To find a real competitor. Maybe a Lotus Evora.
Oh, yeah. Woo, yeah.
Those something along the lines
of that. Did not sell as well.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, you get into them, they're still a little funky. They got a big sill plate and they're kind of.
They got a Toyota motor with 265 horsepower or something in it. I mean, I didn't know how that car was ever going to sell at its price point.
Yeah.
Because this, for about the same price, it's much more car.
Well, and I mean, at this point, the build quality and the reputation of Porsche is just going to kill pretty much anything else that's out there. And I think it's a pretty car. I like the lines of the car more than I like the 911. The 911's getting a kind of a big round end
yeah,
to
do.
It.
I do too. This is now looking much more aggressive and sportier than certainly its predecessor was. And, got a nice deep trunk in there too. Not good for the golf club, but
you could easily put Chris in there.
Yeah, Chris.
He'd totally fit in there.
Chris told me he drove to San Diego in the back of a it was a Daihatsu Charrette with three other dudes. So done and done. You want to fire it up? We'll give it a little listen. Wow. That's throaty. That's fun. So this would be a real fun car if you would like to do track days with. And
oh, yeah, it would be great. I mean, it's a real mid-engine car. The engine is here. You can't even get to it.
Right.
There's not even, like, you can't even change the fluids on it. I'm sure they're capped someplace. Like, I don't even know where you go before that now. But it's great. It sticks. It sticks so well to the road, but it does it just because of its balance of the car. I think it weighs something around 3,000 pounds. It's kind of, I don't know what the manufacturer spec is, but some guys tested one at like 2,900 and change, and some guys tested it at 32. I'm sure it depends on how much fuel and what options are in there. But
and by the way, at this point, it's not looking like the little bastard stepson of the 911. It's kind of looking like its own cool little vibe here.
Yeah. You know, I think its competitor right now would be probably the new Jaguar F-Type.
Right.
You know, that's only a roadster right now, but they'll probably come out with a coupe of that.
To me, a little different animal, you know. I mean, I know we're looking for something in its price range, but V8 front engine, flat six mid-engine. But either way, so it is its own category, much like Mangria. Thank you very much. So it is the 14... 2014?
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
13, 14. 13, I don't know.
14. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla. For Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.